sight to the blind. As I stated before in last week's episode, or Sunday's episode, I knew they weren't going to have him come out wearing a dress. At the end of the day, it's money. At the end of the day, it's money. They know majority of the people are not ready for a total ritual where a man comes out dangling himself in a dress. They know it's not there yet, but they've made progress. There was a small part in this 15-minute presentation that Bad Bunny was singing on top of a pickup truck, and two men near the door, the passenger door, started grinding on each other. Now, it was real fast, but you could see it. It's supposed to get into your subconscious. So a lot of people had a lot of mixed feelings and emotions about this Super Bowl halftime show. I've seen the video of people who are actually there. They can't really see anything because they didn't shoot it for the people at the stadium. They didn't make it for them. They knew they weren't going to be able to understand Spanish. So they didn't make this Super Bowl halftime show for them. They made it for the audience. They made it for people watching on TV. They'd rather sacrifice, what, 70,000 to 60,000 people that could fit in the NFL stadium? They'd rather sacrifice that than to show them the propaganda to millions if they shot it a certain way. People are like, oh, break down the ritual. Break it down. It's nothing to break down. Nothing. It's nothing to break down. I mean, if anything, the Puerto Ricans should be offended. If you're a Puerto Rican, you should be offended. He started off the performance in a sugarcane field. If you know anything about slavery and how Negroes got to be over in Puerto Rico, or they call them Taínos, you would understand that when Christopher Columbus came over, they made the people who were indigenous in that region, they made them serve perpetual slavery, put them in bondage, and had them work in the sugar cane fields. No different from Negroes picking cotton in the South. It's the same thing. If anything, Puerto Ricans should be offended, but they're not. They're so happy to get one artist on the main stage, prime time, and showing all of their little tropes, their stereotypes, their culture. Even they didn't expose anything. Is really black, if you ask me. I mean, he went through a timeline of Negroes. He went through like the history of them opening up restaurants or markets, street vending, playing checkers or chess, boxing. He basically went through, He went through what my wife says the tropes. He went to the tropes of what it is to be a Puerto Rican. That's it. He didn't give us no Puerto Rican inventors. He didn't give us no real Puerto Rican history. He gave us stereotypes and people cheering and laughing just because they seen a bunch of their Caribbean flags being displayed. It was a joke. It was a mockery. That's what it was. And the only code or symbology or symbolic predictive program that they did was the fact that they did a scene where they were up on the telephone wires or power wires. And we know, due to multiple storms in that region, they have a horrible power base. They have a horrible electric grid. Now, could they be foreshadowing that the power is going to go out in America? Because technically, Puerto Rico is part of America. Could be. But if I wanted to do it the very same thing without, if I basically wanted to do the same exact Super Bowl halftime show and using the same type of lineup that he did, the same type of imagery, it would be like Negroes picking cotton, then Negroes open up markets like Black Wall Street, and then you see Negroes playing sports, which would be like, it wouldn't look that good because Negroes are 70 to 80% in the most popular sports, which are football and basketball. So what would you show? You would basically be showing football and basketball at the time when you saw him doing the boxing thing. He went underneath the boxers. And then people playing chess or checkers, it would be Negroes playing spades. Street vending, it could be selling, you know, African art or the Malcolm X hacks. Like, they could have gone there. And they could have just shown, like, the foundational Black American flag, the Negro, the African American flag, the Geechee Gullah flag. They could have done that. It would have been the same exact thing, but we would have been offended. So the reason why Puerto Ricans weren't offended, because they didn't get that much imagery on the main stage. So they accepted whatever they got. But I thought it was funny and hilarious. Numerically, Bad Bunny, I'm still looking into this, but Bad Bunny had a sweater on that said 64. Like, where did he get that sweater? Why does 64? And if I looked at the score, it was, what, 29-13? If you add that together, that's 42. The month of February, as I stated before, is 42. The N-word is 42. And 64 is actually the civil rights movement. Even in numeric meaning, it equals, civil rights equals 64. And the same exact cipher as February and the N-word. So is these things connected? Could be. If I understand their numerology and the symbols that they use behind it, it was supposed to be a mockery. As close as they could get it for African Americans and Negroes. As close as they can get it. Because they knew the indigenous weren't the mixed breed of Tarshish. And that's where Puerto Ricans come from. Their bloodline is from Tarshish, Spain. So the lighter you are, the more you have Tarshish in you. The darker you are, the more you have more of us in you, which is probably West African, Nigeria, Congo, Cameroon, around that area. So like I said, man, it's, and people are, you know, were all upset and in a rage a little bit because Jay-Z was on the sidelines. And you always see them at this point now more so with the oldest daughter and then half the twins. Like, you never see the boy, which brings up what Kanye said, that his children were retarded, where the twins were retarded, which is hard being a woman earlier on in years trying to carry twins. And she could have had that in vitro thing, or that, you know, that pregnancy that the celebs do when they're trying to get pregnancy late. And they don't understand that spirituality has a lot to do with them being pregnant in the later years, because the Most High can mangle your seed. If he knows that you hate him, that curse of jumping from fourth to the fifth generation of those that hate him went into those twins, I believe. They were just lucky to get that first one. But that's, I think they had her before they actually started going deeper and deeper into Freemasonry, Satanism, ritualistic abusing children. So it's really no secret, and it's no hidden fact that being that spiritually wicked, it would eventually mangle your children, especially being Israelites. Whether they see themselves as that or not, it don't matter. The fact that's what they are. And they mangled their seed through wickedness. And then you saw the NFL commissioner. It was just so cringy. Everybody's being cringy. If you watch this stuff from outside of this system, everybody looks cringy. Everybody's trying too hard. Everybody's trying to be cool, popular, it. And they look, more and more they force themselves, they just look corny. That's where it comes off to me. That whole Super Bowl halftime show, people loved it and hated it. But what they did was basically for TV and TV only. And it looked cheap, very cheap. They didn't spend that much money on it. So they're preparing. They're truly preparing to finagle. Now, mind you, it was 9 years when the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl with the Patriots. No, it was when the Falcons were in the Super Bowl with the Patriots, and Tom Brady had that scripted comeback in the fourth quarter. I thought that's what they were going to give us. I thought they were going to give us that. That all of a sudden, Drake May, as much as they were boosting him up and exalting him, talking about his wife, it made it seem like, oh, this was going to be the thing. But I forget that this is what they do. Now they have to they have to sling misdirection at you. They have to, now the truth has been that they are scripting. Now they're coming out and saying in jokes, like, oh, it's scripted. And by doing so, now they have to use the misdirection and lies with the symbolism now. There were two pictures where the Super Bowl trophy was turned to the Patriots, Drake May, and two different pictures. And people was like, oh, now it's going to be the Patriots. And we thinking, like, it's 250 year of America celebrating the foundation of America. You would think, like, it would go down where the Patriots, America's team, well, Dallas Cowboys, America's team, but being a Patriot and Charlie Kirk dying, that would be, or fake dying, that would be the pinnacle, or the cherry on top of the year, of the 250 years to have the Patriots win. It just didn't happen. So I guarantee you they saw the money line in Vegas and was like, oh, we are better off letting the Seahawks win. And they actually fulfilled the, what do you call it? They fulfilled the, hold up. I gotta look that up. The cover, the spread. So they made the spread. So at the end of the day, they made money. And that's all it's about. It's about making money. People think it's about making people feel good. Americans feel good. It's about money. Then they tried to turn their little attention to this Turning Point USA YouTube show. And that was just embarrassing. Because they say, like, oh, because of copyright issues, we can't show it or stream it. You have to go to YouTube, which is another money grab for them. And it was just done just as poorly as the Super Bowl. I mean, you can't get any other white artist to volunteer. They keep bringing out Kid Rock. No one's listening to Kid Rock in I don't know how long. And then he gets exposed. One of his lyrics gets exposed where he's talking about young ladies, about going after minors. That if it's statutory, it's mandatory. Then his SNL comes up where he's talking about the Olsen twins. He said, well, I don't know why everybody's waiting for them to be 18. He said, if it's grass on the field, you play ball. I mean, they all say pedophile stuff, and it's the same guy that's trying to get everybody to open up their Bibles and seek repentance for Jesus. Jesus, 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 all I've heard in the last 48 hours. Even with the players from both teams, you either see them praying on the field, you even talking about God, Lord, Jesus Christ, giving honor. I'm like, is this what people sounded like 5 to 10 years ago? Do y'all remember anybody talking this much Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior in sports in the last 5 or 6 years? I don't remember seeing it being this bad. But they're shoving it down your throat. Somebody has to be telling them, or they're just following the trend of mentioning it because other players have already mentioned it during the playoff season. Everything is, oh, I'm showing glory to God. God, glory. Glory, God. Oh, I'm uplifting and exalting them. And then you see them in the teacups at Disneyland. I mean, it's just funny. It is. All of this is funny. And people don't see it. Even if you explain to them about religion, they don't get it. They still truly believe that Jesus Christ is going to save them. Well, he's not coming back to save anybody. He's coming back for judgment. It don't say anywhere in Scripture where he's coming back to save. The Most High is going to set some people aside, some bloodlines aside for his purpose. But Yahushua's not coming back to save anybody. Matter of fact, he's coming back to shut doors on people. If he was so giving us grace, and that's all we needed was grace, then why is he shutting the door on people who are late to the party? The virgins that didn't come with the oil, that went back and bought oil, and by the time they got to the door, Yahushua said, even if they came and had the same ruach or the same mentality as the virgins who prepared before, they still got to the door, and then, nah, the door is gone. So that's telling me that Yahushua and Yahuwah is based on time. It's based on a timeline. And if you are not prepared, regardless if you're ready or not, the door is going to be shut. So you think about that through the rest of this show. That door is going to be shut whether you are ready or not. It doesn't say anywhere in that scripture when he talks about the parable of the 10 virgins that they were corrupted, that they were sinful, that they didn't follow the statutes and commandments. It didn't say that. It just said that they weren't prepared. They weren't prepared to endure a longer season. We don't know when he's coming back. So the point is to do all that he says to do in scripture. That it is, that's what it means to watch. And if you're not watching, and you're just entertaining yourself, I don't know what to tell you. That's just something I would hope that you wouldn't want to find out, but you eventually would need to find out what it feels like for that door to slowly be closing on you. But going back to religion, Deuteronomy 29:15-20. But with him that stands here with us this day, before Yahuwah Elohanu, and also with him that is not here with us this day. This scripture has not changed since the inception or since the binding of the Bible. It's always been here. People have these Bibles in church. People in religion have their hands on the scriptures and still don't go back to these books because they're in a doctrine. They are programmed to only read other parts of scripture and say the other parts don't matter. So it says, for ye know how we have dealt in the land of Mitzrayim and how we came through the nations which we passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from Yahuwah Elohanu to go and serve the Elohai of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood. Now, I feel sorry for the Gentiles because they haven't seen themselves in Scripture. They haven't seen themselves in the Old Testament. So they never gotten the warning. And y'all are truly blessed, those who are Gentiles, truly blessed. Because you're the first of your bloodline to actually understand the truth, to actually fully, from the beginning, middle, and end of Scripture, to actually understand what the Most High wants from us. And people are going to be shocked when you're in hell or in judgment or in the holding place of Sheol, the same space as people who were in the KKK. The same people who are Nazis, the same people who are the most egregious murderers, rapists, child molesters ever known to man. And the reason why you there or could have a place with these type of people is not following scripture, but choosing to be in a doctrine, because the KKK were Christians. Were not people who are Nazis in a religion? Weren't they Christians or Catholics? Weren't some of the most craziest serial killers and murderers today at one point were in religion? Jim Jones practically used Christianity to get almost 100 people to suicide themselves. Where is the fruit of religion? I have not seen it. When he says, lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood, that travels. If you do not stamp out the gall or the wormwood or the virus or the cancer, it manifests itself in every generation. Some of you were Catholics. You don't even know why you were Catholics. You born into it. That was the gall and wormwood. Some of us grew up Baptist Christians. We didn't select this religion of our own. We didn't get the knowledge and understanding to know what religion we wanted to go by. We didn't get to choose our faith. So if the Most High is going to come by and cleave and purge out and clip off the branches that do not bear fruit because religion doesn't bear it, be lucky that you are purged and clipped for you to be grafted in into a root or to a fruit tree that'll allow you to bear fruit. You have to think about that. All the days of you being in religion, when have you ever felt that you actually was bearing fruit? Because I see performative Christianity. I've seen people, you know, video themselves being at soup kitchens, giving to the needy, or giving haircuts to the homeless. I've seen people practice their faith, like praying, knowing that people have cameras on you, on a football field, on your hands and knees, praying to God. Even when scripture, Matthew chapter 5, talks all about not to do what the hypocrite does, yet people still do it. And it come to pass, when he hears the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. I don't see how people in religions aren't thirsty enough, but continue to add drunkenness to it. Like, we all been drunk. And when we know we passed our limit, we don't add more liquor to the drunkenness. We don't continue to get inebriated after knowing that we're inebriated. What do you do when you wake up after a long night of drinking? Do you go grab another beer? Do you go get a Bloody Mary? Usually you want to eat, or usually you want to get water to satisfy that drunkenness, that thirst. So the reason why religion and churches are out of control, and the reason why the church is getting bigger and the false apostles are getting bigger, because the people don't want to read the scriptures for themselves. They want somebody to tell them, tell me how I should relieve myself of this thirst. And so people add money to the church, adoration to the church, idolizing the pastor. But these are people that have something wrong. Like I said, it comes from bearing gall and wormwood, and it comes from a generational thing. We are truly blessed. The Most High chose to select us one by one, to set us aside, and individually teach us how to be one body, one ruach. We truly need to give the Most High Yahuwah all of his credit, as well as Yahusha. Because there is no way in the world we'd be able to do this by ourselves. Truly, we wouldn't be able to. We would need so much more time that he would be able to, than he would be willing to give us. We would be running out of time. We would be like the people outside of the ark. We wouldn't even be at the door knocking on it. We'd be like, damn, they're building a boat? The water would have been already up to our knees. We'd be like, so who's getting out of this? We would be getting ready to die. We would see the bottom of the boat passing over us. And then we'd be like, oh, okay, I'm ready now to turn. Now I know there is someone up there. Truly we are blessed. Truly he is merciful and long-suffering. But it must be something in our hearts and our ruachs that the Most High planted in us for a time such as this that isn't in most people in today's society. Or in this generation. I know a lot of you were rebels, which means you went against the good. And you didn't do this because you had a bad heart. You didn't do this because you were wicked from birth. You didn't do this because you felt like it. It's just whatever propaganda, whatever doctrine you absorbed like a sponge during your adolescent years, or whether it be through pain, trauma, or pleasure, made you who you are, and you took advantage of that doctrine. You took advantage of that spell. Whatever spell they used on you, you took advantage of it. Because it did bring you satisfaction for a while. So you went against the good. Whether your thoughts, your mind, wherever it went against the greater good. And the Most High looked at you, was like, it isn't because you're bad at heart. It isn't because you're wicked. I know why you're like this. It's because you were fooled. You weren't taught the truth. It's because wormwood and gall was in your bloodline before I selected you. I know what I'm dealing with. All I need you to do is direct your attention, direct your walk And you will cleave to me just as you cleaved to the program you accepted all your life. That is why some of us are here. That is why some of us are unshakable in this path. Y'all really truly need to look within yourselves and know why the Most High chose you. And that is where your talent is. Some of you are sitting on talents, fruits of the Spirit that you are not using because you feel like you don't have any. But I guarantee you, the Most High chose you because you were good at something when you were wicked. If people followed you into wickedness, the Most High know if he turns you, you can get people to follow you into righteousness. Some of you got the gift of gab. Some of you have a presence about you that wherever room you walk into, you make it either light up or make it turn dark. Now, mind you, if you walked into the room and people had a bad energy around you, the Most High knows, like, if I turn him, if I can circumcise the foreskin of his heart and turn him to me, I know he has that same aura that if he walks into a room, or if she walks into a room, people will lighten up. People will be attracted to this light. Some of you don't even understand that yet, that you are walking magnets. You spent years of your life repelling people and think, I'm supposed to always be alone. But that's Satan talking to you. That you are only attracted to a certain type of man, a certain type of woman, a certain type of environment. But you were chosen, so once you turn, you will be able to attract things or people, regardless of who they are, whatever walk in life, to attract them to you for you to be that light unto them. Maybe some of you aren't that deep into your walk yet to understand this. Yahuwah will not spare him, but then the anger of Yahuwah and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. And all the curses that are written in the sefer shall lie upon him, and Yahuwah shall blot his name from under heaven. Going down into 21, and Yahuwah shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Yashareel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the sefer of the Torah, so that the generation of come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which Yahuwah has laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor bears, nor any grass grows herein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Amorah and Admah and Sibeam, which Yahuwah overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, even all nations shall say, wherefore has Yahuwah done this unto this land? What means the heat of this great anger? Let me make a little side comment. Remember, I talked about this book called Number in Scripture. It's called Number in Scripture, It's Supernatural Design and Spiritual Significance by E.W. Bullinger. I was given this as a present from one of my groomsmen, Matt Colo. And there's a phrase or a sentence that is cleaving unto me. It says, if a child of God is observed to be much occupied with God's secret things, he will be found to be one who neglects the study of the things which God has revealed. I say it again. If a child of God is observed to be much occupied with God's secret things, he will be found to be one who neglects the study of things which God has revealed. And once you get into a part of searching for the Most High secret things, you will find yourself at a cusp. And that cusp is finding out certain things and, like I said, scripture that's been here for thousands of years. When the more you seek, the more you search, certain things start to click. Now it says, in that whole land, there is a brimstone and salt. Africa is vast with salt plains. Vast. I would say the most, if you're thinking about scripture, mountains, if you think about the topography of what Yashareel is, there is only but one land that has all of this and salt lands, salt pans. I mean, if you think of Lot's wife turning to salt, the area which I investigated, that is the real Sodom and Gomorrah, which is near that Tsweng crater in East Africa, Southeast Africa, that area is vast with salt pans. Even the same crater is like, it means a place of salt. So her turning to salt that close to Sodom and Gomorrah when she turned back makes so much sense. That is what it is to dig, to seek, to understand, to be preoccupied with things that really aren't revealed to you, except if you only get it by seeking. And also being obedient, being righteous, having your thoughts clear of haughtiness, arrogance, idolatry, wrath, hatred, or anger. You can't think these things if you're preoccupied with that. You can't get into this type of information if you're not preoccupied with Yah. The more you're preoccupied with him, the more you save yourself, the more you get resources, the more you get blessings, because you're not seeking things for your own free will. You're not seeking for your own pleasures and your own satisfactions. You're seeking to find this man's face. It's almost like what David felt when he's on his deathbed, when he said, "Hide your face from me no more." I think David was so preoccupied with wondering why everybody else or the certain select get to see the face of Yahuwah, and he was called a man after Yah's own heart, never get to have that face to face. Imagine being in the flesh, being that desirous to see this man face to face. Trying desperately to seek that through your works, through your obedience, you would see this man's face. And I know after a while, he must have fell in like, I'm not going to ever see his face. I might as well seek this. I want this woman. I'd rather err after this woman. And he felt that heat on him again. Then it brought him right back. But just imagine hearing that you are a man after Yah's own heart and never getting to see this man, a man you call father, never get to see the man who's blessing you, who's, you know, instructing you. All of us feel, I'm at that point where I feel like that. I started to think about what was the world, what was it like before Yah? Like, how did Yah come to be? Was it like you open his, like did he open his eyes like, oh, this is who I am. This is what I'm chosen to be. I'm choosing for us to have two arms, two legs to walk about. Like the reason why we look like this is because the Most High chose this form. If he's not coming from a mother or a father, he was never birthed. He never had to go through puberty. How infinite is this man's wisdom? To just come out of nowhere and said, this is how man should be. Mind you, we only know that he only chose, this is like, if a man is painting a picture, an artist, every artist don't just come out drawing really good. Like those hyper-realistic art paintings that you see people do. There's no way in the world that somebody just, all right, put a pen to paper the first time ever and made that masterpiece. Never. But for, what the Most High did for us is made us a masterpiece just one time. He made the angels. He made the first angels. He made the seraphim, the cherubim. Then it was the angels. Then it was us. But in his mind, he already had an idea. There was no, let me do this, and then let me do this here, and then remove this, and then bring it back again. No, it was none of that. These are the questions that's going to burn in me to the day I see his face for judgment. I'm desirous to know this man's face and to know his will, to know his mind. And the only way I'm going to know it is if I somehow, you know, hear a little, there a little, pick up certain things in scripture based on things I've already investigated. For they went and served other women. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of Yahuwah Elohai of their fathers, which he cut with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Mizraim, for they went and served other Elohim and worshiped them, Elohim whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. Now, that's what happened to us. Now, I know in Revelation it says that the saints will be given to the beast, and the beast will have power over to overcome the Kodeshim. And everybody who is left, who was wicked, every knee shall bow. So whoever's left, those who aren't overcome by the beast that the Most High has set aside for protection, the wicked ones, the people that he is saving for last, going to make them all bow. Are they going to have the same type of, literally, the Deuteronomy that we as Israelites have already had? I'm pretty sure some of you are already having that moment in your respective generations. That what you saw, the religions of the world, you either went through Catholicism, New Age, Kemet, whatever you went through, you saw it all. You saw people practicing it. You saw people failing from it. Whatever you saw, that was your Deuteronomy. That was your Deuteronomy 29. So it would be the same thing, I would feel like, in the end times, that people who didn't bow to Yahuwah or Yahusha will eventually bow and go through their Deuteronomy to be the same thing they have done across this world when they were alive, which means leading into captivity, killing with the sword. So whatever judgment is set aside for them, the Most High is going to bring them through it. But I think about that. The power of the Most High Yahuwah, his will, his pleasure, the things he will do upon this world. And most people are not thinking about that. I know some of you who are either babes in this walk, teenagers in this walk, adolescents in this walk. I'm not talking about physically, like as an age. I'm talking about spiritually. Eventually, you will get to that. You'll get to a stage or a phase in this walk where all you are is preoccupied in your thoughts of how things work above this firmament and things to come. Mind you, not worrying. You're not worrying what's going to happen to you day to day and all that, but you are preoccupied with the dark parables, as it's mentioned in scripture, and dark sentences that the Most High is going to do his pleasure and will, and you hoping that one day, either be through dreams, visions, or just what you see in this world, you think that the wisdom or understanding of things to come will be added unto you apart from scripture. But I wanted to finish on this because obviously it wasn't much that's going on in this world, other than they already predict the programming blackouts and all that. You should be prepared, not based on gathering up resources, but you should harder be more obedient. Be more obedient. Be more steadfast. Set your face harder than flint and prepare what's going to come. Right now is real chill right now. Right now it's everybody's playing around. It hasn't been something, you know, the Most High hasn't allowed Satan and his minions and demons to really fully capture the essence of having the Antichrist come on stage yet and knowing it's going to be mass bloodshed. Now, mind you, they can predict the program is for the next sports ritual that you see. But at the end of the day, the Most High will give the green light when his people are ready. Like I said, when you have the oil, when your people are ready, when you are ready, your family your members are ready, whoever you're trying to warn are ready, then it'd be a time like, okay, now they're ready. Now who I want to protect from this wave, all right, now you can go. But the reason why things aren't going as fast as they would want them to do is because the Most High is in control and there's other people that need to be woken up. People need to be in their respective places, whether it be for protection or for judgment. Everything has to work out. Man can sit here and predict and program you with war, famine, and destruction all he wants. But at the end of the day, the Most High has his hand on what's able to move when he says it's able to move. This is why you should read 2 Baruch chapter 27 so you can prepare what's going to come. But one of the other things I'd be thinking about or pondering on once I go back into the stories is the whole sacrifice or offering of Yitzhak from Abraham, when Abraham was going to sacrifice his only beloved or his only Yakid, because everybody thinks because Yahuwah just wanted to test Abraham. But here's the thing, when I don't get into the story and the meaning behind it, people think it's crazy that the Most High just wanted to sacrifice Isaac, a Yitzchak, just because he wanted to test or have this little game between him and Satan. And that's not how it happened. But even if you knew it to be this, the Most High Yahuwah would not have tested Abraham if he didn't know Abraham was fit to succeed. So this whole thing between Yah and Satan don't know Abraham's heart. Satan only knows what he sees with his eyes. Satan understands the flesh. So I'm going to go into this story in Yasher 22 so you could get a better understanding of why this little thing happened. It says, "And the day arrived when the sons of Elohim came and placed themselves before Yahuwah. And Satan also came with the sons of Elohim before Yahuwah. And Yahuwah said unto Satan, Whence come you? And Satan answered Yahuwah and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Yahuwah said to Satan, What is your word to me concerning all the children of the earth? And Satan answered Yahuwah and said, I have seen all the children of the earth who serve you and remember you when they require anything from you. And when you give them the thing which they require from you, they sit at their ease and forsake you, and they remember you no more. Have you seen Abraham, the son of Terah, who at first had no children and served you and erected altars to you wherever he came, and he brought up offerings upon them, and he proclaimed your name continually to all the children of the earth? And now that his son Yitzhak is born to him, he has forsaken you. He has made a great feast for all the inhabitants of the land, and Yahuwah he has forgotten. For amidst all that he has done, he brought you no offering, neither ascending smoke offering, nor peace offering, nor ox, lamb, nor goat of all that he killed on the day that his son was weaned." Now, mind you, I am not trying to force you to hear another rant about ascending smoke offerings, but I'm telling you, if Satan understands the worship of ascending smoke offerings, why wouldn't he invent a technique or invent a god where you're offering up your firstborn and then calling it Moloch? Where do you, like I said, if you understand the religions of and the practices and rituals of these nations' religions, you will understand where it comes from and why Satan is smarter than most of us who understand scripture. Satan knows what the Most High loves and likes. So to say I'm not going to do it or it's done away with, I'm telling you, Satan knows that this is what the Most High likes. He knows that the Most High accepts ascending smoke offerings, peace offerings, ox, lamb, goat. He knows this. So the fact he's told everybody not to do it because it was done away with. But instead, if you want to give blood how I want you to give blood. Sexuality. And killing your firstborn or killing your children or blood sacrificing. If you want to offer up blood, let it be of your children, not of the fruit of the ground, not that currency. If I hate mankind, I want you to sacrifice yourselves. People who serve Satan or throw up devil horns, celebrities and all that, really believe that Satan loves them. No, Satan loves the fact people aren't doing what the Most High wants them to do. That's what he really loves. Satan don't like humanity. If we had to listen to Satan now, it would come out and sound like Agent Smith in one of the Matrix sequels, when he says, I think it was the first one, he says, I can't stand this place. He said, I'm infected by it. He said, humans aren't like, you're a virus that keeps spreading. This is where Satan is trapped. He is trapped down here with people he never liked. Imagine somebody you don't like And for and you had to have the ability to live for centuries, and you had to see people come and go out of a place that you're trapped in every day, day in, day out, and you had to look at these people, and you have to watch these people worship and praise the Most High while you stuck down there. And I'm pretty sure he's seen the other fallen angels get upset at him because now everybody trapped. Everybody he led down here is trapped. I can't imagine. He don't have I don't know if he likes quiet or not, but I know every day, every moment of his life since he's been down here is nothing but noise. And most of that noise is from humans. So if you were saying you would want everybody to do exactly the opposite of what the Most High Yahuwah wants, especially if you already know what he likes, especially if you've been up there and had the most craziest of understanding and wisdom that you've gotten from Yahuwah, you know exactly what he don't like, what he does and doesn't like. Even from the time of his son's birth till now, being 37 years, he built no altar before you, nor brought any offering to you, for he saw that you did give what he requested before you, and therefore forsook you. And Yahuwah said to Satan, have you thus considered my servant Abraham? For there is none like him upon earth, a perfect and upright man before me, one that fears Yahuwah and avoids evil. As I live, were I to say unto him, bring up Yitzchak, your son, before me, he would not withhold him from me, much more if I told him to bring up an ascending smoke offering before me from his flock or herds. And Satan answered Yahuwah and said, speak then now unto Abraham as you have said, and you will see whether he will not this day transgress and cast aside your words. Now, if you go back into the story, the reason why this came about was in Yasher, I think earlier than 22, Ishmael came and sat in front of Yitzhak and said that I willingly circumcised myself with my father Abraham to show that I am obedient to my father. So it was almost like whose dad is better than whose dad kind of competition, except they got the same dad. And Yitzchak said, so what is this to me? Why are you boasting this to me? Because about some little flesh. And then Yitzchak says, if my father Abraham would wanted to offer me like an ascending smoke offering upon an altar to Yahuwah, I would gladly do it. That is what he said. That is the power of the tongue. And Yahuwah heard what Yitzchak said and said, okay, I'm going to try him in this matter. And that is how it came about. It may not have came about if Yitzchak didn't say anything. But once he did, it's set in the Most High's timeline, whether if Abraham would be able to get away with it or Abraham would ever complete the assignment or not. So I don't think it would ever happen to make Satan make it seem like he would win if Abraham really wasn't about that life. And the Most High Yahuwah wouldn't have presented it to him if he knew Abraham wasn't with it. He didn't do this with Esau. He didn't do this with anybody else walking this earth. He did it with the most perfect and obedient man ever because he knew he would do it. He knew he would go through with the task. But I'm just saying that's exactly what Satan sees. He sees the flesh. He sees what you do and what you don't do. And what he wants you not to do is to worship the Most High Yahuwah and not go back into the ancient past, the ancient ways, to truly exalt the Most High Yahuwah. That is what he sees. And if he sees you not doing that, then he's prowling around you like a roaring lion. I don't even know why they say he's like a roaring lion. Because during that time when Abraham was bringing Yitzhak up to the wilderness, up to Mount Moriah to offer Yitzhak as an ascending smoke offering, he kept trying to get in his way. Like one place was dry land and he turned it into a river somehow. And then Abraham had to say, rebuke you. May Yahuwah rebuke you. And then it says Satan got scared and fled. just off of Yahuwah rebuke you. So I know Yahuwah sits in fear. I mean, Satan sits in fear when a righteous man calls on Yahuwah's name to rebuke Satan and he flees. It ain't like he stood up there and like, I ain't going nowhere. This is my place. I'm the God of this world. He kept coming back and forth to Yisod. And it found like, man, I ain't getting nowhere with these people. They're too righteous for me. So guess where he went? Satan disguised himself as an older man, not as an attractive younger man, but as an old man, as an elder. And he fooled Sarah. He told Sarah like, oh, they're getting ready to take your son up there to sacrifice him. And Sarah got all out of sorts over it. And then he came back again. Oh, I lied. He's alive. And through that, she had a heart attack and died. Well, I'm saying she had a heart attack because it says she died with some type of an amazement. So he know who to play with. Look at these churches now. It's 75%, 80% women in these churches. Men are quickly leaving the church. They had enough of the wormwood. They had enough of gall. They had enough of adding drunkenness to thirst. It's in every man. After a while, after living a lie, I don't care where you are in your walk or any phase of life. Eventually, you get tired of being lied to. Eventually, you want to be filled up with the truth. Yeah, you'll go through a period of time where you don't trust anything. You don't want to listen to anybody. Like you shut yourself out, you isolate yourself, you think everything is BS. At a time, you'll go through that phase. You'll go through it. Then you'll be like, okay, maybe it is not everything. Maybe it's me. Let me start with me first. And when you start with yourself, then you're able to add certain things back into your life that you know you can handle. Like I was sensitive around certain friends that kept saying, God damn it, God damn it, God damn, God damn. And I'm thinking that that's, you know, they're blaspheming the Most High's name. But I've realized God is a title. And they're saying it out of ignorance. So I just separated myself from some of these people. I changed the way I listened. I think when you come into this walk, you dive too deeply into fragility. And what that means is that you're so sensitive to everything. And when you're sensitive to everything, you want everything around you to change, rather you change yourself. So I changed myself. I hardened myself. If you suffer from lust, as I suffer from lust, I suffer from watching porn. But I had to kill my flesh. So certain things I went without. But I couldn't blind myself if I happened to see porn or I happened to see something I was investigating and some naked woman pops up and I get all disheveled and, oh, I'm crying. I don't, that doesn't happen. I could scroll and happen to see, I can scroll on X, which is, that's where porn is. I could scroll on X and just either misclick or misscroll or jump into something that I was investigating and see a whole scene. It won't do anything to me. My flesh is so desolate. I could sit there and watch it for hours and I wouldn't feel any type of way. I wouldn't feel like, oh, I need to go do this. Plus the Ruach HaKodesh wouldn't allow me to sit and watch it for more than 5 or 10 minutes anyway. But I wouldn't get all over the place over it. That's fortifying myself. Some of you think like if I'm suffering from drinking too much alcohol, I'm suffering from alcoholism, I just need to go without alcohol for the rest of my life. And then you get around people who drink, you get in an environment that has liquor and you don't know how to act. You haven't fortified yourself. You haven't set your flesh like flint. I'm just as worse as all of you. I like me a good time in Vegas. I like shots. But like I said, through moderation, I can be in those environments. I don't want to be, but I can be in those environments and thrive. I won't feel like, oh, I'm socially awkward or I'm getting anxiety because I'm not being able to be myself if I don't drink. Those days are gone. Like I said, when you get to seeking and searching Yah, he will fortify your soul to have you go out there among wolves and be able to stand above them. That's what it's all about. Seeking his face or trying to seek his face the best you can. And when you're in places that you are not comfortable in, your Ruach knows what to do. The Most High knows how to protect you. But he also wants you to be a little bit harder. He doesn't want you to be always gentle, soft, in a way that you're offended by every little thing. Like it says in Mattiyahu, is one of those prophecies, is that many will be offended. If you see it now, and where is all this being hyper offended comes from? I know that's not a word. It's coming from the synagogue of Satan. You see how people acted out because you called them the wrong pronoun? That's easily offended. That's mentioned in Mattiyahu. That's how we know the judgment is coming near. Everybody is getting offended. You know where they're getting it from? They're getting it from the synagogue of Satan. The more they talk about World War II, that's where all that easily offended stuff comes from. It comes from the ADL. It comes from them. Then it funneled down into the gay community. Then from the gay community, it came down to the Negro community. And from there, it's just running amok. So everybody's offended by every little thing because they're getting tired of certain groups of races and groups of organizations getting all the victim card used and no one else having the ability to have that victim card. So everybody wants the victim card because everybody wants to be offended. Easily offended as that. I mean, look at the Super Bowl halftime show. It went from, no, I'm not going to listen or watch anything because he's speaking in Spanish. Fam, it's 15 minutes. It ain't like watching 15 hours of it. It's 15 minutes and it's going to be with commercials afterwards. Then you can reset yourself and watch the game again if that's what you are about. But they's like, oh, we're going to need to create a whole new halftime show to satisfy what we really want to see. So you basically got the devil and then two forms. You got the ritual in two forms, basically. So they still win. Even if you think you had the illusion of choice, you thought you were like, all right, I'm going to watch something righteous if I'm not watching the Super Bowl with Bad Bunny because he's speaking in all Spanish. And then you turn your attention to Freemasons. Those who talk about molesting or being with minors and saying that statutory is okay or it's mandatory. And they're the same people telling you without repentance, without the fruit of the word, telling you to pick up your Bibles and repent and call on Jesus. Bruh, please. You gotta be spiritually retarded to believe that. That Satan truly wants religion to be the salvation. If he truly knew it would be salvation coming through religion and through these platforms that he controls, trust me, he would charge you a leg and an arm for it. You would be on a subscription. If he knew, if players, celebrities, saying Jesus Christ, showing their baptism, if they knew that this would be the true salvation through these celebrities and through Satan's platforms, he would be charging you before you even get to the salvation. And after that, he would turn up the heat and he will charge you more after you've gotten your salvation to keep it. That's how he would move. If he knew that it was going to set you free from him, he would charge you a leg and an arm, is what I'm saying. He would put you on a subscription for that salvation. But since he doesn't really have that power, it's easy to open up the scripture and read it for yourself and actually remove the ego or the pride or whatever's in you to seek after this man's face, to seek after Yahuwah's face. Once you got that fire, to seek, bruh. Once you have that burning to know, which you know you're not going to be able to know until you get to see, and maybe not even get the information when you see him. But once you have those questions burning about everything the Most High Yahuwah is, I'm telling you, anything and everything you actually want in this life that he knows he can prepare you for in a day and in a second and a month, within a week, will be added to you so easily because he knows in your heart you're not seeking your own survival. You're not seeking your own pleasures. You're not seeking your own satisfaction. You're seeking him. Yahusha said he knows what you want before you ask him. So I'm caught without even asking him for stuff. I'm just at a point where I want to ask him for questions I know he's not going to give me because I'm just not at that pay grade to know and understand certain things he would reveal to me. But that's what I'm preoccupied with. Preoccupied with the secret things that he has not revealed. And then watch these blessings shower over my household because I'm more concerned with who he is, what he is, and what he likes, rather than what I like and what I am. I'll see y'all next time.